Bez Hashem Yisbach, we begin Perek Revi, the fourth chapter in the Rambam Silchas Matnas Anim, the gifts of the poor in the Sefer Zeroyim, where the Rambam continues regarding the other Matnas Anim, specifically of Leket, Peret, and Oilelis. The Rambam begins Halacha Alf regarding qualifying what is Leket when it falls when it's in the middle of the harvest. Say Zeh Leket, what's considered Leket, the gathering of the gleanings. Zeh HaNoifel Mitech HaMagel, B'Shas Ketzira, this is what falls from the sickle as he's harvesting, or if it falls from his hand, when he's gathering the stalks and he's harvesting, that is, that's going to fall either one or two stalks. If three fall at the same time, that's already over the quota, and then that those three belong to the homeowner. And that which falls not within the sickle, but from behind the sickle or behind the hand, and even if it's one stalk in the leket, it's not leket, it's only from within the hand or the sickle, and it's up to one or two. Halacha beis, hayukaitz b'yad b'loy magel. Let's say he was harvesting by hand without a sickle. Hanoifel mitech yod, what falls from his hand, in the leket, that's not considered as leket. Now, aval ha-toilosh d'bar ma-toilosh ma-sim, but let's say someone's tearing out things that are normally torn out, that's how it's usually harvested, then hanoifel mitech yod, leket, then what does fall out of his hand is considered as leket. That's a hayukaitzer. Let's say he was harvesting oy toilosh d'bar shadak li-toilosh, or tearing out that which is normally torn out. And then after that, he harvested the full amount of his arm, or he tears out his fistful. He co-kites, he then hits a thorn, and then because of the sting, he drops it from his hand. That's going to belong to the homeowner, because the pasuk says of leket kitzircha, it's only leket that comes because of the kitzir of the harvesting. Here it came because I hit a thorn. That wouldn't qualify as leket. Halacha Gimel, the Rambam continues regarding the obligation of leket by standing grain, by the kama. So let's say he was harvesting, and there was one stalk remaining that he didn't harvest. The nixer called shaviv aser, because before we're talking about when it falls during the harvest. Here we're talking about even regarding the kama. And the nixer called shaviv aser, he left one stalk, but he harvested everything all around it. So if the tip of that stalk reaches over to the standing grain that's on the side of it, he cuts him a command. It could be harvested together with the remaining standing grain. So since it's not such a special effort that would have to go through it, so it is considered connected regarding with the other standing grain, and it's considered secondary to it. So then Harisha Baal said this still belongs to the homeowner. But if not, it's everything around it was harvested and it's too far to even tilt over to be part of the other standing grain, Harisha Lanim, that is also considered like it, and that belongs to the pauper. Let's say there were two stalks, one on the side of the other one. This is a continuation of the previous halacha. The inner stalk could be harvested together with the other standing grain, which, as we said in the previous halacha, that belongs to the balabais. Now, the outer one is too far away from the other standing grain to be harvested with it, but it could be harvested with the inner one, which could be done with the other kama. But Venichali cuts him a kama, like we said, but the outer one is too far to be harvested with the standing grain. So the inner one gets saved because it does bend over and reaches over and it wouldn't have to require a separate harvesting. And so to Matzal Sachetzaina, since it's also close enough to the outer one, it saves the outer one with it. And the reason is, going back to the primary halacha itself, what we had said, that the stalk that wasn't harvested and you can't harvest it together with the kama, we said, oh, that belongs to the poor. That's what the Rambam's writing over here. He says, Shari cannot fell as mitecha magel. It's like it fell from within the sickle, which we had qualified. That's where the halacha of leket applies. Vav bishodan leinik tzara. And even though one didn't harvest it yet, where there could be cases of leket, even where it's attached. And vashibolim shebekash, and the stalks that are in the straw, Harin Shabbal HaSadah, that belongs to the owner of the field. In other words, that we're not concerned that maybe it's leket, and because the paupers don't have from within the standing grain. In other words, it's not the norm to have leket in the kama, rather only in the harvest. So therefore, if it's still in the stalks, so again, that belongs to the homeowners. Halacha Hei, the Rambam continues regarding when there's a mixture, when it gets mixed up, the leket with the grain of the homeowner. So haruach shepizur samarim. Let's say the wind blows the bundles. V'nesarv katzah shel bala sadeh maleket. Now, what the owner had harvested for himself got mixed up now with the gleanings that were remaining on the floor. So im dinas asad the kam maleket hirulah. So we have to evaluate, we have to assess how much leket it would have been make such a field, which makes sense how much would have fell and how much there would have been. But that's Lehman, that's what you give to the paupers. And the reason why we qualify like this is because it's beyond this person's control. You can't penalize the owner of the field, as we actually would say later on in a later halacha, that when he had put his bundles on top of the leket, then we penalize him. Here, they were, since an einus, the wind did it, so we just evaluate how much there probably was, and you give that to the poor. Now, v'kamah shirzen, how much is this measurement of leket that we say how much a field normally would have made? It's arba kabin tvu l'chol beis kor. We assess it at 4 kabin of grain for every beis kor. That's how much we assess would have fell during the time of the harvesting, and that's what you give to the poor. Now, halacha vav, leket shenafal la'aretz, melilik tu'anim. Let's say the gleanings, one or two stalks that fell to the ground, and the paupers didn't take it. This is different than the previous halacha. Here, it wasn't the einus. The owner of the field, he went and he piled up his harvest on the ground, which is now covering the leket. So what should he do? So here it's more stringent. So what he does, he clears away his whole granary that he had made the threshing pile to one place. And any stalks that was touching the ground all goes to the poor. And the reason is, we don't know which ones was like it. And since the situation of doubt, any of those at least that are touching the ground, we say that there goes to the portion, like it says in the pasuk, Tazri, you have to leave it. Hanach lefnei mishalcha, which you have to do an act of leaving, even from those that which are your own, you have to leave it for them because of the doubt we treated as astringent. Halacha Zayin, says the Rambam, Lama in imnim isa. Why don't we evaluate it, belit lanim, and give to the pope a mashal realize like that what makes sense would have been like it? Like we said in the prior halacha, that how much normally it is 4 kavan of tefuah for every base kor. Oh, it says the Rambam, mishavah v'higdish aleket, because here he went and he transgressed and he piled up his grain on the leket, so consumers they penalized him. And v'afalah yishag, he did it by mistake, but ultimately he did something wrong. And v'afalah yaleket so'ir, even if the gleanings were barley v'higdish lebechid and he piled on it wheat, which there's no concern about a mixture of with the leket because we know what's what, which is the homeowners, which is the paupers. And even if he called to the paupers and they didn't come, and even if others piled up his stuff without his awareness, whatever's touching the ground goes to the paupers. Let's say someone has to fertilize his field before the paupers are going to get a chance to pick up those few little stalks that fell on the ground, what's called leket. He has to fertilize his field, which is obviously going to ruin the leket. If the damage that's going to be to his field if he doesn't fertilize it is more than the loss of the leket that's going to be for the poor, so mutl rabbits, he's allowed to fertilize the field. But if the loss that the paupers are going to have from the leket is going to be more than his loss of not fertilizing right now, asr rabbits, then he's not allowed to fertilize. Now, vim kovetz is called a leket. Now, if he gathered all the gleanings, v'nichal gadur, and he put it on the fence, until the pauper comes and takes it, so reason midas chasidus, that's an act of piety, because again, even though he's allowed to go at it because his loss is greater, fertilize it, but he goes out of the way, picks it up, puts it on the fence, that's definitely a midas of chasidus. Halacha test. Zroim hanem tzolim b'chare namolim. If there are kernels that are found in ant holes. So it depends. If those ant holes were in the area where the standing grain is, harei shabal asada. We assume that's from the standing grain which belongs to the homeowner. And the reason is shein lanim matonim b'techa kamen, because the paupers generally don't have gifts of leket in the standing grain. Now, v'mhoi b'mokim sh'niktza, but let's say the ant holes were in the area where the harvest took place, oh, harvest ha'shalanim, then we presume that to be from the paupers, shimena leket gadru, because maybe the ant had taken from the gleanings that fell to the ground, which was from the poor. Now, v'afi sh'nimtza shachan, even if you find it black, enem, we don't say, oh, harizim m'shan shavah, that's from already the past year, it's already hefker. No, because shesveka leket, because a doubt regarding leket, that maybe it's from this year, is treated as leket, and therefore belongs to the poor. If there's a stalk of leket, and this over bagadish, we got mixed up into the person's granary, his silo. So harizim mafresh shtei shebeilos. What he does is as follows: he separates two stalks. Va'im alachas, when he says regarding one of them, im aleket hizu, if this is the one of leket, harilanim, so it goes to the poor. Vim ein aleket, if it's not the leket one, hari amaisus shechayeves ben shebeilosu. So the maisus that this stalk is obligated in, because it's a regular stalk that he has, which is your meister from, is kavuim b'shebeilashnia, is then established with the second stalk. Now, this second stalk is actually not one of the two that he's separating initially. Rather, as the Mefarshim explained, he actually takes a third stalk from his pile, and he stipulates also on it, because you have to be concerned that maybe the one that you're making maisus on is delek. It comes out that the first one is tevel. So he takes actually a second one, which is really a third one, and he says that the maisus that this one's obligated is actually going to be in this second one, meaning a third one. Then he goes and he stipulates also regarding the second stalk, the same thing, that if this is the leket, then fine. If not, let the other one be maisa with this one. But Nisan Achaz Melani gives one of them to the poor, because either way, he's saying that's the one. V'acharis tia maisa, and the second one, is the other one is going to be maisa, where he's establishing maisa on the other one. Lochid Avdram continues regarding the gifting of leket as exchange for something else. So, lo yisker adam es apoyel, a person not allowed to hire a worker, with the stipulation that his son of that worker will be able to gather the gleanings after him, because that's considered stealing from the poor. Because the poor workers are going to be hired out cheaper because of that. Because, okay, you get that fringe benefit, you're getting benefits, so he's going to actually be paying him less. So it's actually considered like stealing from the poor. If the stipulation that is that his poor son could go ahead and collect after him. But all the cases that Ram is going to say right now are not getting paid for their work. So therefore, there's no concern about diminishing the amount of wages by letting the son collect afterwards, and therefore there is no such a problem. And therefore, harisin the shig crop is v'chachayris, which is not like getting by percentage, but rather he pays a flat fee for his payment. Or v'amichu k'masel l'chaver liktzor, if someone sells his standing grain to his friend to do the harvest on it, there you lock it by achav, there his son could gather the gleanings after. And moreover, a worker could bring his wife and his sons to come and gather after him. And here also his wife is permitted to gather, because here he's not the owner of the harvest. And even if he's paying him wages to take half of the harvest or a third of the harvest or a quarter of the harvest as his wages, that's not like the case of the Aris, who actually takes the whole harvest. He just pays the owner a half, a third, or a quarter. Rather, here, actually, the whole harvest belongs to the owner. And he's actually getting he's getting paid from the owner a half, a third, or a quarter, and therefore has a different halacha, and therefore he's allowed to, unlike the owner, he's allowed to have his wife and his kids gather after him. If someone does not allow the poor to gather the gleanings, or he lets one guy in and one guy not, or he's assisting one guy over the other poor guy, or he's a guy whose name is considered stealing from the poor. It's also forbidden for a person to place a lion or something similar like that in his field, that the poor should see and run away on their own. It's also chasing them away. Let's say there were paupers, that some paupers over there that are not really fit to take leket, because, for example, they had over 200 zuz, which does not qualify them as an ani. If the homeowner could protest, let him protest. But if it's not going to help, it's just going to cause a fight. You should just leave them alone, because of the ways of peace. So if someone declares what's falling the glean, he could declare his own list, with the majority of it that already fell from the hand of the harvester, then ain't hefker, it's not hefker. Because once the majority of it got detached, he doesn't have any dominion over it anymore, because the moment a majority of it gets detached, the poor already have biblical rights in it, he can't make it hefka anymore. If he did it before, he can make it hefka, but that's already too late. Halachat Zov, the Ram now continues on regarding to qualify that of peret. He said, oh, peret, what's considered peret, which is from the word of prat, like a specific, it's like one grape from the cluster. So ze gargar echad, or shnei gargarim. So this is either one grape or two grapes, and the fratim mina eshkol b'shasab, see, that fall off from the cluster at the time of the harvest. Naftu shloisha gagam b'vasachas, let's say three grapes fall off at the same time. Then ain't a peret, that's not going to be considered as peret, similar to that of leket by grain. Halacha design, how you baitzer, let's say it was harvesting, but karsas eshkol, and it cuts off the cluster. V'huzbach ba'olam, and it gets stuck in the leaves. V'nafal arts v'nifrit, and that causes the grape to fall off. Then ain't a peret, again, similar to like the halacha of the thorn, that since it didn't fall off because of the harvest, because of something else, so it's not considered as parrot. Let's say he was harvesting, and he throws it down to the ground. So when he clears out the clusters, even the half a cluster that he finds over there, parrot, that is going to be considered as parrot, because this is similar to the halacha of when he piles up his pile of grain on top of the leket, where the chacham penalized him, which because whatever touches the ground belongs to the poor. So even if we said, let's say his pile was wheat and what was on the floor of leket was a barley, so too over here they penalized him even up till half a cluster, even though there's more than three grapes, it belongs to the poor because it's on the ground. So too a full cluster that is broken up over there. Hariya parrot is considered as parrot, which some your studies have this in parentheses. Now, if someone puts a basket beneath the grapevine when he's harvesting, which obviously he's trying to prevent it from falling into the ground, again, he's stealing from the poor, because that's obviously what the Torah wants, that when you're plucking and it falls down, that it should go to the poor. The Rambam qualifies what is oilelois. So it says Rambam, ezehi oilelois. So ze eshkol cotton, this is a small cluster, she'enem u'ubo, that's not thick, either eshkol, like a cluster, or the gear says kishibailis, which what it means to say is that this cluster is not thick like a stalk of wheat, meaning, she'en lekatav, it doesn't have literally a shoulder, and ve'en anovav night v'zal zay, which Rambam is going to qualify what these terms are, and it doesn't have grapes that are laying one on the other, elamufazar is rather they're scattered, so it's a very small cluster. Now, yesh lekatav, ve'en lenatav, let's say it has a shoulder but doesn't have natav, or yesh lenatav, ve'en lekatav, or has natav but doesn't have katav, then it really belongs to the owner of the vineyard. But for himself, let's say not sure, the name then belongs to the poor. So the Ram qualifies, Allah is a katav. What's this katav that we're saying? The oilelis does not have katav nor natav. So katav is pesigin. Pesigin are these small clusters, hamachubaris by shedra, which are connected by the spine, the backbone, which is really the middle spine in the cluster, the main twig. That's zoy gav zoy. It's one on top of the other. That's what's called kasav, which is similar to a kasav, which is someone who carries loads on his shoulders, a porter. So that's like you have these small clusters that are connected on the spine, one on top of the other. That would be considered katav. So if it doesn't have katav, that's when it's a small cluster that qualifies as oilelas. Now, what's the other variable that we said that natav? That's a navim hamachuboris b'shidra b'yerdus. That's grapes that are connected to the spine and they go down. So natav is from the word of flowing. In other words, that it's something that flows and goes down one onto the other one. And v'hu, that is shiyu kol anavim shabay leles. Now, so therefore, if it doesn't have katav, which is like a porter, like on the sides, one on top of the other, or one going down, like natav, it doesn't have either one of them, then it's like leles. But, ooh, shiyu kol anavim shabay leles, they have to have all the grapes in these small clusters, then neigim b'pas yada, that they touch the palm of his hand. In other words, they have to be so scattered that each one could touch the palm of his hand, then it's like leles. But if, let's say, you're not going to be able, it's not so scattered, you can have one on top of the other, and not each one's going to be able to touch the palm of his hand, then it's not going to be considered as a leles. Now, v'lom the kishma oilel, where's this term oileles from? Nishu l'shar hashkailas, because it's incomparable to the other clusters, is ko'ilish, is how an infant is to a man. That's oilelis, like an oil, like an infant. It's very immature in that it's a very small cluster, and that belongs to the poor. Halacha yitess. Now, the imbal abayis chayv liftzer ho'ilelis, v'litin lanim. It's not an obligation on the homeowner to go ahead and harvest the small clusters to give it to the poor. Elohim boitz nais and latzim, rather they harvest it on their own. Now, the gargar yichidi, an individual grape, harei oilelis, that's also considered and qualified as this halacha of oilelis of a small cluster. Halachaf, zmeira, a large branch of a grapevine, shahayba eshkol, that had on it a cluster that's coming out of the branch, which has katav or natav, which is not oilelis, so it belongs to the owner of the vineyard. Now, uvar kuba, which is a joint in that large branch, which from there comes out another small branch, which on that has the cluster. So you have a bar kuba shel zmeira, you have on that joint of that large branch, you have oilelis, you have the small cluster. So in nikrit z'imay eshkol, so if it's cut off together with the cluster, so then hadesh balakem. So then it actually goes to the owner of the vineyard, because it's like the stalk of leket that could be harvested with the kama, which belongs to the owner of the field, as we said in the previous halacha. Now, v'mla, but if not, that it cannot be harvested, this oilelis, together with the eshkol, well, then it belongs to the poor as oilelis. Halacha falaf. Kerem Shekulei Leles. If let's say you have a vineyard that's entirely these small clusters, I read the name, it still belongs to the portion, like it says in the Pasuk in the Yukra, that your vineyard, which is like the going on the whole thing, you should not be Ta'ilil, which is Filikulei Leles, even if it's all these small clusters. And the Ina Perit Vileles Nahagin El Bekerem Levan. Now this halacha Perit, which are the individual grapes. And Leles only applies by a vineyard that you have to leave that for the poor. Halacha Beit Ram continues regarding what are the times that allow this halacha of Leles. So in anim zeichen likach per Leles, the poor do not have rights to take the per Leles at sheyaschal balakem lipsakama until first the owner of the vineyard starts harvesting his vineyard. Shenemak says in the pasuk in the var ki sivtzakama when you're harvesting your vineyard loisal then don't take the Leles. But they can't just come in and say, oh, that's immature, we're taking it. He has to first start his harvest. Now, v'kama yivtzubi yizichim, and how much is considered that he started a harvest that they could have rights in it? When there's already three clusters, which makes a quarter of a loig of wine, or some say a quarter of a kav, which that's a loig, he already harvested that amount, that's already considered harvested, and then they could take the leilas and the peret. If someone sanctifies his vineyard, to hektish, that he didn't know yet at that point that there was a leilas. So in our leilas lanim, then the small clusters do not go to the poor. And the reason is because since the vineyard belongs to Hekdesh, it's exempt from a leilas. But let's say mission noidulas, but let's say it already became known that there was a leilas before he was Makdish, then our leilas lanim, then the leilas go to the poor because the person cannot sanctify something that's not his and it's already considered as the poor's. And the yidnus char gedulam, but he has to give the amount of whatever that the tree gave forth from the fruit, from the moment it did become hektish until it matured from its growth, that has to go to hektish. That has to go to hektish because the vineyard and the tree is of hektish. So although the leilas go to the poor, whatever did grow further once it was ready in the possession of hektish, that he has to give to hektish. Loch of dal tazemes agefen. If someone prunes a grapevine achar shenayde leilas after it's already known that there is these small clusters that go to the poor, so he raises them a gedarka. He could prune in the normal way, and that is a kashim shekarzach goes just like he's going to be pruning. He's going to be cutting off clusters that belong to him. Kach karzach leilas, so he could cut off those small clusters because the Torah did not make it forbidden to take off leilas. Only be doing it at the time of harvest. Here you're not harvesting; you're just pruning, and therefore that's permitted to take it off. And halacha of hederam continues regarding the exclusion of this mitzvah of leilas. Let's say a Gentile sells his vineyard to a Jew, he sells it for the rights of harvesting. The Jew has to go ahead and leave their leilas because it goes based on the harvesting. And the Gentile does not have acquisitions in Eretz Yisrael to remove it from its sanctity, and therefore since the Jew is doing the betzira, he has to leave their leilas for the poor. Now, Yisrael v'goyish are shutafim by kerem. If there was a Jew and a Gentile who were partners in the vineyard, so the portion of the Jew is obligated, and that of the Gentile is exempt. Halacha vav ben Levi. If a Levi should not only meister table that he was given tithes that are untithed, meaning what does that mean? Because the Levi has to give from his tithe, from the tenth that he gets from Yisrael, he has to give another tenth, what's called Trumas Meister, from his meister to a kohen. So let's say that Trumas Meister was not taken off yet. And he finds inside his meister, he finds the clusters that were immature. So Nisn Lo'ani. So he has to give that to the poor because those small clusters belong to the poor. Now, they're exempt from Trumas and Maestras, and therefore he could just give it as it is. Now, in the Kretzis in Eshkol, but let's say it gets cut off with the cluster, which we said that actually is exempt from the Halacha of Leilas, and that belongs with the rest of the clusters, then Yesh Leilas is Trumas Maestras, Malka Macha. Then he has to go ahead and separate Trumas Maestras from somewhere else, again, because this is something that is obligated in Trumas Maestras, because it's exempt from the laws of Eilulis. Lachav Zayin, the Ram concludes regarding if, let's say, someone is doing the harvest to take home. So, Mishayulay Chomish Gevanim, someone had five grapevines. And he's harvesting to take it to his house. So, Imla Achalan of them, if he's doing it to eat the grapes, well then, Patam and Aparat, he's exempt from the Matnas Nim of the specific grapes, the individual grapes, and the Shikhem from the forgotten bundles. And from the Ravai and from the Halacha of Netter Ravai. No. The reason is because since this is considered as a temporary type of harvesting, because generally the purpose is to make wine out of it, and he's taking it home just to eat the grapes, so therefore that wouldn't be considered as, quote, harvest to be obligated in Lekha and Shikha and regarding Peah. But v'chayiv b'leilus, he would be obligated in leaving the small cluster. And the reason for that is because the obligation of the leilus actually does not depend on harvesting per se. Because the moment that we know, as we said before, noydu leilus, that we know that the small clusters, it's already forbidden for the homeowners to have rights in it. So therefore, it is chayiv b'leilus. Now, the mitzaron lasses yain, but let's say he was harvesting to make wine out of it, which that's a normal way of harvesting, then chayiv b'kol, then he's obligated in all the matnas aneim, elim kein shir miktsasin, unless it be left over part of it, which then he's potter, because then the obligation would be regarding the part that was left over. That would be the part that he's the primary, and that would be the obligation, and then what he took would actually be exempt.